The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Diet and exercise, diet and exercise. How often have you heard these words repeated in answer to almost any question? Your doctor, your therapist, any self-help magazine or book or blog is going to repeat this refrain. How can I get more sleep? Diet and exercise. How do I fight depression? Diet and exercise. What's the key to living a long life? Diet and exercise. How can I lose weight and have more energy? You guessed it, diet and exercise. How I wish there were a different answer, one simple solution to solve all your ailments and help you reach all of your health goals. A pill you could take in the morning, perhaps, or some rare and exotic essential oil taken from a root vegetable found only in the Amazon rainforest. Rest assured, if there were a silver bullet that would give me energy during the day and help me to sleep peacefully at night, I would take it in a heartbeat. But unfortunately, the only real solution remains diet and exercise. These two practices are the twin foundations of good health, and they are intimately linked together, working together either to improve our health or to hurt it. So let's say that your goal is to have more energy during the day. Any doctor, right, Henry, will tell you that exercise will help. Moving our bodies gets our blood flowing, our endorphins moving, helps us to feel happier and more energetic, and it strengthens our muscles and hearts so that our bodies have a greater endurance and don't get tired out as quickly. So exercising regularly should help your energy levels. But it also matters what you are putting into your body. If you ate a lot of donuts and drank 6 Cokes a day, that sugar rush and caffeine high, once they wear off, are going to cause major energy slumps. Or if you aren't eating enough healthy protein, then all that weightlifting you're doing at the gym is not going to result in building muscle. So you get the idea. You can't out-exercise a bad diet, and you can't eat your way around the need for exercise. The two are intimately connected, and they work together. Well, the same can be said for faith and works in the spiritual life. Last week, I told you that the letter of James cuts right to the point and boils the life of faith down to the essentials. Well, James does that again in our lesson today. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm, and eat your fill,' yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith.'" Faith and works are the diet and exercise of the spiritual life. We need both, not one or the other. Faith is our trust in God, our willingness to be in an intimate relationship with our Creator, our recognition of Christ as the Savior and Redeemer of the world. We nourish our faith by spending time in prayer, studying Scripture, and worshiping God. Works are the outward manifestation of that faith, our acts of love, service, and generosity. Our works carry out and demonstrate our faith when we do things like help a neighbor, volunteer with Habitat for Humanity or Meals on Wheels, or give generously to those in need. Faith and works are the bread and butter of the Christian life. Both are absolutely essential, and they work together to form the foundation of our lives as ministers of the gospel. We are beginning a new program year this fall here at St. Andrews. We have lots of exciting things planned for the next few months, lots of ways to both nourish your faith and demonstrate that faith in action. Take a look at our calendar, at the announcements in the back of your bulletin, and think about what step you might take to deepen your spiritual life this year. I would especially encourage you to attend our church-wide ministry training this coming Thursday, the 13th. My friend, the Reverend Tom Dahlman, will be sharing with us from his years of ministry experience and getting us fired up for a new ministry year. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, "I am not a minister. Why do I need to go to ministry training?" Allow me to remind you what the Catechism, which is the summary of faith in the Book of Common Prayer, says. The Catechism asks, "Who are the ministers of the church?" And it answers, "The ministers of the church are laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. Laypersons are the primary ministers of the gospel. That's you. My job as a priest is to support you in your ministry as baptized Christians." The Catechism goes on to ask, "What is the ministry of the laity?" And it answers, "The ministry of laypersons of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Seguin, Texas, is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world, and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the church." This fall, take your place in the life, worship, and governance of St. Andrew's. Nourish your faith through Bible study, Sunday school, worship, and prayer. Demonstrate your faith by volunteering with one of our outreach ministries or serving on a church committee. Care for your physical body with diet and exercise. Care for your spiritual health with faith and works. Amen.